Well, as I mentioned earlier, last week Jim's message really got me thinking about adversity. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So knowing that we all will face adversity at one time or another, what do we do when it comes? Do we fall back to our flesh and the strength of our own efforts and our natural strength to endure it and perhaps by some measure of hope overcome it? Or do we turn to God and surrender our circumstances to Him? This morning, I want to get very real with you and tag on to what Jim brought up last week regarding trials and dealing with life's tribulations. This morning's message is called The Grace of Adversity. It's a strange title because, truth be told, we do not often think of problems as God's grace. We think of problems as a nuisance, an inconvenience, and sometimes even as retribution by God, as if we have done something wrong. But seldom do we ever think of adversity as a gift. Webster defines adversity as a state or instance of serious or continued difficulty or misfortune or problem. This morning, I hope to help us think of some problems as gifts from God. Not necessarily all our problems are gifts, because sometimes we often bring trouble upon ourselves. I'm still trying to figure out how yesterday when I was mowing the yard, when the tire flew off the front of the tractor and went rolling down the street, as the lawnmower set on its empty axle, Lord, I'm not sure I'm seeing the grace and the gift in this, but I'm going to thank you anyway. Please help me get the tire back on. And I did. All the pieces were laying right there. I was able to pick them up and put them on. No, this morning I am talking about adversity that comes our way through no fault of our own, that God has allowed and that is intended for our benefit and ultimately His glory. So to this idea, I have three brief points today. The first point is, adversity may not be a curse, but instead a grace. Adversity may not be a curse, but instead a grace. Remember that grace is defined as God accomplishing something by His strength that we could not otherwise accomplish on our own. Therefore, grace is a gift. God is helping us. Therefore, anything that God brings or allows into our life that helps instill His character and more of His character in us, transforming us into His likeness, is a grace, and it is a gift. And this may include adversity. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm looking at the screen up there in the time where it says 11:11. Does anybody ever see the number 11:11 a lot? Trish, anybody else? Yeah. Weird, isn't it? It's kind of strange. God is in that for some reason. I don't quite know. Maybe some of you see other numbers. He's speaking. So 1 Peter 5:10. "But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. By the word that settle you means complete the transformation, complete the work that he has begun. Peter tells us that God is perfecting us. So he allows adversity into our lives to help us achieve that goal, the adversity of suffering Peter is specifically talking about here. The goal is to become more like Christ. And that's the perfection that God wants for each of us. Many of the problems that God allows are not a curse, but a gift that helps us become more like Jesus. They are doing something under the surface of our character that we cannot immediately see. Kind of like potatoes grow. They grow under the dirt. You don't really know they're there until it's time for harvest. And by golly, there they are. Ultimately, the problem will bring God glory if we go through the storm with our arms firmly clenched on His promise that He will never abandon us and that He is in control of every circumstances, including the adversity that we are currently going through. The night may be dark, the waves may be tall, and the enemy's voice may be roaring like a lion, but God is with us, using every drop of adversity to renew our hope in Him that His grace is sufficient in all things. His grace is sufficient. And He will not waste a single drop of tribulation when we yield entirely to His work of grace. Though we may not understand in this season, and though it is extremely painful and hard to get out of bed every morning and simply take a breath, God is working in and through us by His grace to strengthen our faith. My family on both sides of my wife and myself is currently experiencing adversity. We did not ask for this, nor did we want it, or do we want it. But it is reality. Actually, I do not even carry a hundredth of the burden that my sister and sister-in-law bear in lovingly meeting our parents' ongoing needs because they live closer to them. However, even that burden is eclipsed by the weight that our moms carry for our dads in their daily routines. If anyone has been a caretaker of a loved one, then you know what I'm talking about. The caretaker role for a loved one is that of absolute selflessness in a thousand different ways. I want to read to you an excerpt from a caregiver's page on Facebook. I saw it yesterday. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of stories just like this. Listen to the adversity this person tells. My mother-in-law passed in January, leaving us a maintenance-deferred, hoarded townhouse an hour and a half from our home. My 6'5", 294-pound husband developed sepsis in February, leading to a two-month hospital stay with an amputation to his right leg. He remains manually wheelchair-bound and uses a bedside commode in our only bedroom. I have vision issues that make driving a challenge. There are days the constant demands of the mess his mom left, taking care of him, getting him to doctors in Virginia's heat, setting up, breaking down, and lifting the wheelchair, fighting with the insurance company, paying bills with no income, managing the upkeep here, dealing with contractors, repairs, and retrofit of the home we plan to move in a couple months, dealing with the auto repairs, the shopping, meals, trips to the dumpster with bags of reek, lack of sleep, all break me. My only sibling can't be bothered to help, and my best friend has been a godsend but lives an hour away with her own stuff. And then she ends it with this, I cry daily, period. There are so many of these stories. Most of them say, if it were not for God walking through my adversity with me, I could not even survive them. So please understand that no one in our extended families is complaining about their caregiving task. Not one time. They have embraced this adversity with the love and joy of Christ because Christ lives in them. Our dads would never in 1,000 years have chosen their spouses and daughters to care for them as it becomes increasingly difficult to function with clarity and dexterity. But our dads have chosen humility and allowed themselves to be cared for. It is really beautiful in a God-honoring way with our moms who are serving and our dads reserving, or and our dads receiving that serving. I was thinking a lot about this week. And it dawned on me that the care of our moms and sisters, that the care that they are compelled to give, though challenging, is not a curse, but a gift. The caretaker role is an opportunity to become more like Christ in ways that most of us will ever know. I truly believe that God has special rewards for caretakers, especially when care is provided in selfless love. One of those rewards is learning to love as Christ loved. How much better our lives would be if we could love as Christ loves. And caretakers get to enter into that path earlier than most of us. Our call as Christ followers is to love everyone unconditionally. By giving selflessly, we learn to overcome selfishness by giving selflessly. Even in the midst of adversity. In fact, selfless serving is the antidote to selfishness, which Satan is always trying to poison us with. Selflessness is the pathway to holiness in all areas of our life. So if you find yourself in a situation like that, don't curse the day. Embrace the moment. That this is the call that God has put on your life in this season of adversity. Look for God in the midst of the pain. Ask Him to help you breathe, if that's what it takes. And this leads me to point two. The harder the trial, the more we grow. Jim touched on Paul's life last week, and I'd like to use Paul as another example to illustrate that the harder the trial, the more we grow. When Paul was called into ministry, he was an arrogant and prideful Pharisee. He was also a murderer. But this man ended up writing 13 books of the New Testament, as Jim mentioned last week, 14 if he wrote Hebrews. How did he go from being an enemy of Jesus to an apostle of Christ? God transformed him through adversity when he was forced to lean on God and not his own strength. He was forced to trust God's word in his suffering. And when he did, God matured him spiritually to the point that he became a model for all of us to follow. Here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Paul attributes his growth to the adversity he endured for the glory of Christ in his pursuit to imitate him. In 2 Corinthians, Paul explains some of these adversities. You turn in your Bibles. Jim, did you cover this last week? I couldn't remember. 2 Corinthians 11. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 11. Look down, go down to verse 24. These are some of the adversities that God used in Paul's life to help shape his character to the point that Paul can confidently say, imitate me. Verse 24. From the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, that is the deep waters. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. Now flip over to the next chapter. Chapter 12. Verse 7 and 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And here's where the real gold is poured out. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Through these adversities, Paul grew as a believer, embracing every adverse circumstance to humble himself and to grow in Christ's likeness. He says that these things allow the power of Christ to rest upon him. He was able to write, Paul was able to write 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter, only because he had grown into Christ's likeness, writing about the kind of love that God has for us and we are to have for each other. He could have viewed adversities as retribution for the evil he had perpetrated upon other Christians, but he did not. Instead, he looked upon them as graces, which are gifts, teaching him to love as Christ loved and serve as Christ lived. Everyone that came his way, he embraced it because God was teaching him about his own character in each of those. Are you here this morning? Are you listening? Before moving on to my third point, I need to make, there's a few caveats that must be made regarding adversity. First, it is the devil who brings adversity into our lives. Therefore, we must stand firm against the enemy's attacks. We don't sit back and just take it. We come against the devil, whether sickness or persecution or whatever he throws at us. Second, we don't sit back in our adversities and tell everyone who will listen how rough we have it and that God is allowing it. You don't know that God is allowing it for sure. I'm talking about some adversities we go through that God has allowed. But there are others that Satan has brought your way that God has allowed it to transform us. Yes. But we're in it now, and God is just waiting for us to stand up and declare to the enemy that we will not take it anymore. Thirdly, remember that God uses adversity to transform us. He will allow some adversity into our life, even though it's from the enemy. Sometimes He's waiting for us to stand up and use the Word of God and take a stand against that adversity. Other times, He's transforming our character into the likeness of Christ. We never know exactly what's going on in the moment. But one thing's for sure, we are to stand up against the enemy when he throws something at us. And the next thing, in the middle of our problems and our adversity, we are to look towards Christ and say, God, what is it that you're showing me in the midst of this? Is it something about myself that needs to change? Is it something about my perspective of you that needs to grow? Show me. Do you get that? In one sense, we're fighting, but in another sense, our arms are open. God, show me what it is that you have for me in the middle of the tribulations. And my third point to thinking of adversity as a gift is adversity teaches us to trust God in greater ways. If life were perfect, if people didn't hurt us, if our loved ones didn't die or get sick, if everything we touched turned to gold, and if every decision we made was the right one, the truth is that most of us would not be following God at all. We would have no need or desire. This is what happened with Israel over and over again in their past. Almost every chapter of the book of Judges details this ebb and flow of Israel's walk with God. When things were good, they drifted off into idolatry. When things got bad, they cried out to God for a deliverer. When the deliverer saved them, things got better. And then they fell away again. And so on and so on. So God will allow adversity to come because He desires fellowship and intimacy with us. I've shared this story before about, I had a friend, big, strong guy, and he was a Christian believer, and he began to drift from the Lord, hanging out with the wrong crowd, you know how it goes, and began making poor decisions, and quit going to church, quit reading his Bible, quit praying, all the big three, and one day he just went out on a simple hike with some of these guys he was hanging around with. He took two steps and stepped on a rock and snapped his ankle in half. He was out of work for about 3 months. It was during that time that he said that God opened his eyes and he realized, man, I've drifted from the Lord. Got back into his Bible, got back into fellowship and praying with the Lord. He's doing great today. He's doing fantastic, walking with the Lord. But God used that adversity so that my friend would just slow down and come back to the Lord. God loved him so much that he wasn't going to let him just go off and distance himself from the Lord's presence. So he allowed his ankle to be broken. God didn't break his ankle. God allowed his ankle to be broken to you so my friend would begin fellowship with him again. When life's storms come, we cry out to God, don't we? Have you ever been caught in a life-threatening storm? Jim talked about this last week. I felt bad for you, brother. Like 4 years old, man, traumatized in a car. Were you by yourself or was there another adult in there with you? No, I'm not saying you were driving, man. Were you just like, your mom just gets out of the car and goes, enjoy the ride. And you're like, ah, you know, it's things coming down. Which one was it? Storms can be terrifying. We lived in Texas for nearly 10 years. Texas tornadoes are no joke. When the sirens blared, we got scared. We didn't have basements. The only thing protecting us from them, from the tornadoes, was a little wood, some siding, and sheetrock. In those storms, we cried out to God to save us. Unlike in the smaller storms, when we knew our little home was sufficient to protect us. It was in the big storms. And the greater the storm, the greater our need for Him. And we either learn to trust Him in the big storms, or the storms destroy us. The great thing about God allowing us to go through adversity is that He doesn't abandon us. He's right there with us, pouring out His grace every step of the way. When we think that we can't take another step, we fall on Him. And He carries us and He pulls us through the fire. In times of adversity, we need to treat it as grace if possible. Believing that God is accomplishing something in our character that we could not otherwise do on our own. Therefore, in adversity, we must petition the Lord to show us what He is doing and ask Him what our response should be. What is it that He's seeking to transform in you? Where's the deficiency in your character this morning? That if you could just grow in this area, your walk with God would become amazing. You could love people more and love Him. Because I guarantee you that God is aware of it. And He will allow some adversity to come in to raise that part of our character up. To raise that part of us up that needs to become more like Christ. What is He attempting to sanctify in our character, in our nature? Remember what Paul said, or remember what Peter said. He allows sufferings to perfect us. To perfect us. I want to conclude with this morning. You can close your Bibles and just kind of listen. All storms end. All storms end. The devil may be taunting you and saying, it's going to be like this forever. It's not. It's a lie. All storms end. All trials come to a close. Maybe you're going through one right now. I want to exhort you to hang in there. Get through one day at a time. God will worry about tomorrow. We don't need to burden ourselves with that. But somehow, even though your time may be stretched thin, I want to encourage you to find time to spend with Jesus. I don't have any time. I'm having to deal with it all day long, 24/7, 7 days a week. Whatever it takes for you to do, find time to spend with Jesus. Jesus told the woman at the well that He is the living water. We need to drink from Him constantly because He brings life. His light, He is the light in the darkness. Spend time with Jesus, whatever it takes. And with Jesus, knowing that with Him on your side, all prayers are heard. He's with you. All tears are seen. All breaking hearts will heal when we keep our hands firmly clenched onto Jesus. He understands. He suffered loss. He suffered pain. He knows what you're going through. All storms end. Cling on to Him. grab onto Him and don't let go. And when you make it through the adversity and the problem, make sure that you didn't waste it on complaining. Make sure that you didn't spend the time with a lack of faith and unbelief, because all storms end. If we are suffering without looking for what God is doing in the midst of that suffering, then we're just suffering for nothing. Don't let adversity go to waste. Embrace it as a grace and see what God will do through it to make your life amazing. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Lord, truth be told this morning, there's not a one of us that want adversity in our life. It takes time. It takes effort to deal with it. It's a season of pain and loss. And it's hard, Lord. But with You, every problem, every ounce of adversity, every drop of tribulation can be turned to something beautiful, which is what Your promise is in Romans 8:28. That You will take what the enemy has purposed for evil and You will turn it to good for Your glory and for the purposes for which we've been called. And that is that we may walk in perfection, we may walk towards perfection, not of ourselves as perfect people, but the perfection of Jesus Christ, that we may become more and more and more like You, Lord. Father, we need You. We need Your grace. We need Your help. We need You to go with us through the storms. We need You to lift our chins. We need you to help us breathe, Lord. And we know that You're faithful and that You love us and You have not abandoned us. We thank You that You are good. You are good. You are good, and that never changes. We thank You, Lord, and we love You. Be with us now as we go. We pray that You watch over everyone. Lord, that You continue to provide for us and bless us. Protect us, God, from harm and evil. Be with our nation, Lord. We're maybe coming up on a very difficult 4 months of adversity in this nation like we have never seen or known before. We pray that You would take Your church through it. We pray that You would walk through. We pray that You'd give us clarity. And we bind the spirit of confusion that is, and the spirit of deceit that is permeated in this nation. God, we pray that You would bring the light of Jesus Christ, and we would see, and those that have been walking in the darkness would wake up, and that the truth would set them free, and all of us, Lord. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll see you next week.